freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are it.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Oh, man, it's already the final hour of this week, at least for this show. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com. Stacey, I'm sorry, but you're
Good for you. Have fun in the final hour of this one. You guys can go home and nap.
Hey, that's cool. I'll call you at 4:30. You can,
appreciate it.
See what you're up
to. Thanks, guys. Just say, how was the day?
Hey, are you interested in waking up now? What do you think? Stacey Rost is here. I'm sure you know and recognize the voice, and their show will get going here in about an hour. I wanted to start by asking you about something from John Schneider yesterday, and
perfect.
I would assume
that's where we're starting.
That this is in your show today.
Yes, we are opening with it.
Obviously. So Wyman and Bob have their show. They did a great job interview yesterday, and there's only now a couple more of these left before the draft, so make sure you're listening on Thursday afternoons. But in a question about these 30 visits with Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix, the last 5 seconds or so of this 30-second answer are probably the most important and intriguing part.
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. Just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. And, yeah, you want to cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, you know, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. And we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. You know, we talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, you know, what we do in the draft.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
That's
just
about
the last line.
A lot of Spencer Rattler. Here's why we do it. West Coast, the whole thing. Yeah, I love Sam Howell. Also, we could still draft a quarterback. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that John Schneider is a much more aggressive GM than people give him credit for sometimes. I mean, he's taken big swings. We've talked about it before. And I think that we've all looked at the draft. Now, Bump and I got into a debate yesterday. But in general, people have looked at the draft going, well, you're not going to carry three quarterbacks on your 53-man roster. You've paid Geno guaranteed money, and you gave up draft picks for Sam Howell. Those are going to be your two quarterbacks. Of course they're going to be your two quarterbacks. Why would you draft another? And then you look at it a different way and you go, well, next year's class, Shedeur Sanders is like the number one quarterback in next year's class. I don't know that Geno is your lockdown starter for next year. He needs to prove a lot this year. So you have a lot of question marks heading into 2025 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes taking a quarterback in this class, which is pretty deep, tempting.
Yeah, I would say that's why I was sort of crushed when they traded for Sam Howell.
Because they'd eliminated to you briefly.
Have
you changed
to me,
your mind?
I don't know yet. What it felt like in that moment was I wanted to get one of the elite quarterbacks in this draft. I'm reading the tea leaves that I can't. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go with a backup plan and bring in Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. That's how it felt in that moment.
Fair.
What I think I'm hearing from Schneider now, and Condotta kind of said the same thing this morning, is more like, look, we could still take a quarterback, but because we have Sam Howell, we're not forced to take a quarterback, which we would have been earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And that also, to me, you're right. I was leaving open the possibility of like, well, what if Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy, which now J.J. might go like top five. But like, let's say, J.J. was going to be available at 16 and, you know, a month and a half ago, he had been mocked there.
Mm-hmm.
I was open to the possibility that Seattle might pull the trigger and make that move. You're right. The Sam Howell trade changed that for me, but it didn't eliminate the possibility that Spencer Rattler, who's going to be a later pick, could end up landing here. I think that John Schneider has always wanted to accrue more quarterbacks, even if it's to be able to trade someone.
Yeah, I think for a long time he probably couldn't because of Ross, and he just felt like
someone's
the sensitivity
ego would be crushed.
And everything else.
Yeah.
If there is one player that quote made me think of, well, I'll be curious. Did that player, when you hear that from Schneider, that it doesn't preclude us from taking a quarterback, does that bring you to any of the names in particular?
It brings me to days. So it brings me to late day two or in particular day three.
Interesting.
As opposed to a specific name. Like, I know that Ryan Grubb was at Bo Nix's pro day at Oregon. We know that John Schneider and Grubb were at Washington's pro day watching Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're going to use what would be their first-round pick on one of those guys and a third-round pick for Sam Howell.
It made me think more about Michael Penix than anybody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't sound like, I mean, look, again, these mocksters, who the heck knows what's real and what's not, but if they are to be believed, the first four guys are not going to be even possibilities from where you are. But Penix might be. He might be available
at
16.
He most likely will be. I've seen him mocked as high as 12, but I don't know.
He might be available. And if he is, Maura and I were saying it earlier, like, if they take Penix at 16, let's go.
Okay, so I'm going to backtrack then.
What's your reaction going to be? What if they take Michael? Like, how will you feel if they take Michael Penix at 16? Maura asked me that question today, and I thought the answer was simple.
Purposes. So I feel, and this is probably how you and Maura feel, my reaction is radio host reaction and then, Seahawks health reaction. Seahawks health reaction goes, but what about the trenches?
Right.
There's Troy Fautanu just sitting there. What about your defensive line? You don't want to take Byron Murphy a little bit later, trade back and pick up a second rounder? The radio host in me says,
let's go.
Let's rock.
Let's go.
Let's rock.
Well, the other thing is that it doesn't preclude him from making deals. So I guess what I would say is, all right, let's say John were to draft Michael Penix at 16.
That's fun.
Could he turn around and trade Sam Howell at some point in the draft for a fourth round pick, fifth round pick? Maybe. Right? I mean, like, you don't, just because you've brought somebody in doesn't mean you need to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them back away for 75 cents on the dollar. Why not?
Would Michael Penix, talking about Michael Penix as a prospect, does his injury history concern you?
Sure. I mean, of course it concerns me. They all have some level of concern, but I am a fan of Penix, honestly. I mean, I would be very excited if they were to have Caleb Williams. I'd be very excited if they were to have Jaden Daniels. I would be very excited.
If the Seahawks were to have,
I mean,
I would be very excited with the Seahawks having
Caleb
Williams.
I'd be pissed
Williams.
If they had Drake May. I think that guy's going to be terrible. I think that's going to be a straight up bust.
Did you hear, God, who am I, Maura, maybe you know, who was it that was saying Drake May is going to cost a coach's job?
It was, Merrill Hodge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I wouldn't be psyched about that. J.J. McCarthy, I'd be psyched. And yeah, if it was Michael Penix, Bo Nix would concern me. Michael Penix, I'd be freaking psyched. Like, that'd be awesome. That guy's got a legit cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's a leader. He can run around. Like, yeah, why wouldn't I be psyched?
He's different than the quarterbacks that that Mike McDonald has. Well, I guess quarterback. I'll just include Lamar with primarily his background with Baltimore. Though he wasn't in charge of the offense there. That team had already been built around Lamar before he got there. And I also don't know that John Schneider. I don't know John Schneider's MO with quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. None of us do entirely, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's drafted.
You had one for 10 plus years.
Yeah, and we know who he looked at during the time. He traded for Charlie Whitehurst. He signed Matt Flynn.
But then he went to pro days for Josh Allen.
Right.
He went to Patrick Mahomes. And these are all different quarterbacks. I know Allen is mobile and young Wilson was mobile, but they all have different skill sets.
I guess I just have to believe that if John truly identifies a quarterback that he thinks is worth taking at 16, that there's got to be a reason. And that does not mean I'm a trust John in whatever he does person. But in this case, if he felt that convicted about a quarterback, given what they have and their other needs, I think I would have to say, like, all right, I got to trust this guy in this. That seems awesome.
My pet theory, which is not unique in any way, but I'm going to claim is solely my own, is that every NFL GM wants to be able to have as many star quarterbacks on his resume as possible. And that, more than anything else, is a tempting reason to acquire those picks. Like,
but you better be right.
I just, in my mind, like, it's canon that John Schneider loves quarterbacks and wants to find that quarterback and maybe especially loves scouting quarterbacks. Like, I don't know why I've convinced myself of this. I think because he's lamented not drafting more.
Well, and because, look, there's the quarterback and then there's everybody else, right? I mean, yeah,
right.
You got to have success and you got to have trenches. Like, we all know all that stuff.
Right.
And if Troy Fautanu is their pick at 16, great.
Yeah.
No one's going to be upset
about
that.
No one's sitting here going,
that's awesome.
Can you believe that Green Bay had back-to-back-to-back great right tackles?
Right.
Which they didn't. But, like, you're talking about having back-to-back to maybe back great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you got to have it. That's there's no other way to win, really, long-term in the NFL other than that one. So, fun conversation. It sounds like you guys are going to be continuing that at 10 o'clock and on from there. So, stick around after the show. It's Bump and Stacey every morning at 10 a.m. We'll come right back with everything you need to know. And then I hesitate, but we will open up the phone lines as usual at 9:30. We'll see where this goes. Stick around. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Early, late, whatever. The Mariners need to get themselves going. It was nice to see them walk out of Toronto with a win in the final game of that series. Try to get some of that momentum from the late surge and take it into tonight's game in the first series here against the Chicago Cubs. Reds come in after that. They're two games out right now. So, yeah, when you sort of talk about how lousy they've played and it has been lousy, remember, no one's exactly run away with this thing, certainly not in their division. Texas, a couple of games ahead of them. The Angels, as bad as they are half a game against, ahead of the Mariners today. The A's are back. And then actually the Astros are in last place. They're 4-10 to start the year. Bryce Miller will get it going tonight. He's on the hill against Jordan Wicks. And yeah, that game's on Apple TV. So if you're looking to find it on television, that's where you'll find it. And of course, you can listen to it here on Seattle Sports on 710. No word yet on Brian Wu. We usually get health updates on the first game of a homestand from Justin Hollander. So I'm assuming we'll hear a little bit more about him tonight. In the meantime, Scott did give us an update on Matt Brash and Gregory Santos, and all pretty positive.
Matt Brash threw a live BP, and that went very well. So we keep our fingers crossed he can keep progressing there. Santos has picked up, he's in a throwing program now, working his way towards getting on the mound, but he's a little bit farther behind. So I don't want to get too much more detail, no timelines, nothing like that, but it has been very positive.
Scott Servais and Rick Ocasek together doing a little duet. And Scott says that, things are looking pretty good on both of those fronts, which is great to hear.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, we just talked through the John Schneider comments there on the future of the quarterback position, which I'm fascinated by. And maybe they will end up taking a quarterback when all is said and done. And if they do, that'll be awesome. I'll be very excited about it. And maybe there'll be other trades that accompany it. Let's remember, it was Tavares Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Matt Flynn, who were all there together before Russ eventually won that job. So it's not like John would be completely adverse to having a third legitimate quarterback on the roster at the same time. He also talks a lot about, though, the offensive line position, where most people think is their biggest need.
When we got here, we were looking for the zone, the Coach Gibbs stuff, who's coaching for Coach Mike Shanahan, the cutoff guys, the guys that could really, the quick, we ended up being a little too quick, too undersized, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a then all of a sudden you change the system and now you're too light and then now your pocket integrity is compromised, right? So we have the same type of body types that we want, and we try to stick to that, and guys that can execute what we want to be able to execute. But everybody, every position, they all come in different shapes and sizes.
So I think if I hear him right there, what he's saying is we used to just draft the right offensive lineman for the system, but now we have our offensive lineman that we want, and the scheme kind of has to adapt around what we've acquired. So I think that's how I'm reading it. It's a little challenging to say exactly, but it's been such a hole for them. And it's just unfortunately one of those things you have to continue to invest in. And if that's the direction they go with 16 or in the first round, certainly be very, very difficult to be upset about anything like that.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
We did get news yesterday on Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. And this thing sure seems to be pretty, I don't know if it's quite cut and dry. But, when the U.S. attorney gets involved and they say this.
Our investigation has revealed that due to the position of trust he occupied with Mr. Ohtani, Mr. Mizuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Mizuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to take advantage of Mr. Ohtani. Mr. Mizuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
God, the word plunder, every time I hear it, just kind of throws me for a loop. But that does sort of feel like what happened here. He had access to his account, and he used that access to plunder and kind of just use it as his own and run up a $16 million bill through horrible gambling debts, and they just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah, I said at the beginning when this story first broke that I'd been around baseball players and I was not that surprised to find out that there was a possibility that one of them was essentially just unwilling to deal with their own finances. Like, I just want somebody else to handle this. I'm just going to focus on baseball here. Be my personal assistant, run my life, run my finances, because I'm not interested in doing it. And it seems like that's what's happened here. And this guy gained his trust, got access to the accounts, and stole just an unbelievable amount of money. Masters continuing with round two today. They wrapped up round one and then started round two. Max Homa has moved into a tie now with Bryson DeChambeau. He's through seven under through seven. DeChambeau is just seven under through one. Scotty Scheffler, I think, is still six under. And then you get a whole bunch of guys after that. So that's what we're watching here in the Masters. And obviously a couple more days left to go in that tournament. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour. How would you feel about Bryson winning? How do you feel about a live guy winning the Masters
this
year?
Same guy I felt about live guy winning, what was the... It was the other PGA event that won.
Yeah.
With that PGA... Was it PGA? No, it was the PGA Championship. What was the event that...
Yeah, didn't Koepka win the PGA Championship?
You're right, that was it.
Yeah.
And watching him hold up the PGA Championship with a hat with a little Liv L on the side was just, I don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not what I want, but I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of like through thinking about it, I guess.
Also, I haven't heard any more about the merger. Like, what is the latest?
It's not going well. I mean, they seem to be unable to work it out between them. And so, you know, there was that moment of excitement, and it just doesn't seem like much has come out of it. All right, let's open up the phones. Last week, I love that we got some new callers. Let's be clear. Moore was kind of like, hey, Mike, we're kind of getting the same callers every week. Are you sure you want to keep doing this? And it was a really good question. She's right.
Because it's hearing from people that listen all the time, but it's nice. We just want to hear from new people, too.
We want to hear from everybody. We want a variety of opinion. So that's why we open up the phones. There's enough people who get irritated with us over the course of the week. Why don't you talk about this? Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about my thing that I want to hear more about? I want to hear more baseball. I want to hear more football. I want to hear more college. I want to hear more Kraken. I want to hear whatever it is.
I want to hear
Huskies.
More ranked. I want to hear more.
Right.
Yeah, music. Yep.
So 866-979-3776 is the phone number. We've had
Let's be clear. If you want to hear more ranked, I'm going to hang up on you.
Jeez.
You hear that?
Yeah. The violence in the anger. Yeah, Moore, you're supposed to be welcoming.
Sorry.
We're supposed to be welcoming to people to make this sort of a safe space for them to call in and feel comfortable. 866-979-3776 is the phone number. Talk about whatever you want. You want to talk about the Mariners start. You want to talk about their feelings on where they're at. You want to talk about the Seahawks and whether or not John Schneider truly means it when he says that they're not precluded from taking a quarterback in this draft. How you'd feel if it were Michael Penix or Troy Faltano or any of the other number of people, Byron Murphy, whose names we've discussed here over the course of the last few weeks. You want to talk Shohei, whether you believe him or not, and believe this story. We're open to whatever. 866-979-3776. 866-979-3776. If you're a new caller, we'll move you to the front of the list. That's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Oh, yeah, that'll get us going on a Friday with open phone lines, 866-979-3776. This is what we do. We take your calls on whatever subject is most interesting to you on a Friday at 9:30. And it does look like we got some new folks again today, which is great. We love hearing from new people. So we're not just talking to the same folks every single week. And you know what? Let's get right to it. 866-979-3776. You guys get to make the call, set the direction of the show. Scott's in Redmond. Okay, some are older callers. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
So I know you're a big golf guy, and I'm a Tiger Woods fan, and I'm so hoping he makes the cut because you know what that does. I know you're going to watch, but I've been watching Tiger Woods for all these years. You know, all those golfers, he made a lot of money for a lot of people. He changed the sport.
Yes.
You know, just from a viewer. I mean, if he's in the hunt, how many times do you drop everything what you're doing and go watch your TV on Saturday and Sunday? You're glued to it, especially on Sunday. So my question is for you, since he's got a new sponsor, you know, he's not with Nike, and his traditional Sunday wear, you know, he wears a black hat, a red shirt, and his black golf pants and black shoes. Will he still be wearing that if he makes a cut on Sunday?
All right, so two questions for you then, Scott. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, did you just call it Nike?
No, I mean... No, but that was his old...
No. Did you just call Nike Nike?
Oh, maybe. I'll be honest. But yeah, that was his old sponsor. But now he's
Scott. This is not some random brand that maybe people don't know how to pronounce anymore. And nor is this sort of like a Porsche, Audi, Audi kind of a thing where maybe there's a little debate about it. It's not Nike. It's Nike. I think this is pretty well established, set in stone. There's not much of a debate about it.
There's no wiggle room in that
There's no wiggle room. It's Nike. Yeah, and I just want to help you out moving forward. We're going to call it Nike. Okay? So we're going to end that part of the debate. You don't know more. No, stop. Second part of your I want to address second thing. Do you know the name of Tiger's new brand that he's wearing?
No.
Okay. I think the name of the brand may help you. It's not a new endorsement. It's a new company that he started. The name of the brand is Sunday Red.
Okay.
Does that make you feel more comfortable that he will be wearing red on Sunday?
Yes. Thank you very much for the information. My information is as good as what I get from you guys.
Well,
I
here
didn't
we
know
go.
That.
Well, the internet's out there too.
To be fair, Scott, I didn't know that either.
Feel free to avail yourself of the
getting
internet.
Getting a lot of texts that everyone in Europe says Nike.
What?
This ain't Europe.
Maybe Scott's European.
This is not Europe.
This ain't Texas.
It's Nike. 866-979-3776. Let's go with Aaron in Vancouver. What's going on, Aaron? Good morning.
Hey, any way you want it, Rocker Talk will bring it.
Darn right.
Oh, man, yeah. Hey, just real quick, side note, two things. I love you, Mike, but on draft day, I'm all Team Mora.
Oh, you think she's going to smoke me, huh? Ready.
Roadrunner, you know, maybe, you know, and the Wile E. Coyote, possibly.
Okay.
We'll see. And then I played a clip of you singing in a chick with my wife, and don't feel bad for kicking me off. She said, oh, man, you sound terrible. honey, you sound terrible.
Yeah, you weren't good.
Okay, so anyways, no. Hey, come on. come on, man. So I have a quick comment question about the removal of the basketball hoop. I was telling Justin, metaphorically, does it represent more than we really are putting into it? I mean, you guys played a big homage to it, but the competitiveness, the Pete Carroll way of the Seahawks that have been there for years and years. I love McDonald, and I love his defensive prowess, but, like, is that competitiveness going to go away with the basketball hoop?
Yeah, good question, Aaron. It's a good question you ask, and I don't think that it will. If I'm Mike McDonald, I'm removing the basketball hoop because it's so associated with the past
sure. That
you need to do something new. You can't allow it sitting there all the time as this 10-foot reminder.
You might as well put a statue of Pete up.
That's exactly right, yeah. Looking over your shoulder and monitoring your every move. You have to move on. You have to make it your own. But you've got to find your own way to create that level of competitiveness.
Big
There's no doubt.
Big buck hunter, yeah.
Some of the changes there are going to be changes there. There are going to be different emphases. They're not going to be the same team that they used to be. And Mike McDonald will have different strengths and weaknesses than Pete did. But in order to establish himself, I do think just number of questions he had about it. Yeah, I got to move on. This has got to be my building now. I've got to be able to be the coach, not just live in the shadow of Pete. So I think he absolutely 100% did the right thing. And if I'd been in his shoes, I think I would have done it as well.
Everyone's saying you told new callers to call in and then you were so mean to Scott. Just so you know, Scott is not a new caller. He's been calling for years.
Scott's an old caller. And one of the worst, to be honest with you.
I'm
just kidding.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. 866-979-3776. How about Sean in Tacoma? Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I got a question. When should JP and Julio be moved back in the lineup, in your opinion? And when should we worry about the hitting when it comes to amount of games?
That's a good question. Let me answer your second one first. Worried? You could be worried right now. When will we sort of be deep enough into the season to have enough of a sample size to really feel it? I would say at least a month, maybe closer to 6 weeks before you start to get a real sense. But there's no reason you can't be worried right now. I'm a little worried, right? I mean, I think they're going to be better than they've been. But am I a little worried about their offense? Yeah, of course I am, because they haven't hit very well. The first question, I think, is a lot harder to answer. And honestly, I don't know whether most of us are that qualified to do so. If I'm Scott Servais, my job is to try to get the most out of my players, right? And to maximize both. He's kind of got two masters at the same time. On one hand, he's trying to give the guys who are hottest the best opportunities and the most opportunities to bat during a game. At the same time, he's got to work to do everything in his power to unlock two of his better hitters who right now aren't hitting at the peak of their game. So I don't.
Is there positions in the lineup making them press more?
That's a good question. And I don't know. I think that's where Scott would have a better feel than us. And not that I'm against second guessing a manager, but I think Divish has mentioned this before. There are times where I think the manager has more info than we do. Is JP pressing? Is he not seeing enough fastballs? It used to be that if a guy was struggling, you'd put him into the number two spot in the lineup because of the way they used to be constructed. And knowing that, you know, your big power fearsome hitter was the third guy, they would hopefully see more fastballs because nobody wanted to walk the batter ahead of the third hitter. But that's changed. The game has changed so much in the last 5 or 10 years that I don't know how that works anymore. Yeah, maybe you could take him, give him a day off from hitting leadoff and let one of those guys hit at the bottom. You did see him drop Polanco down the other day, although there was a lefty on the mound and maybe that had more to do with it. I'm certainly not against giving guys a break and moving things around in the lineup when you think it's the right time to do so. As for when that time is, I'm not sure I'm really qualified to answer it, but I'm not against it. That's for sure. I'm against doing it every day. Like, okay, JP, you're first, you're eighth, you're ninth, you're first, you're eighth, you're ninth. Like, they've started to establish a level of consistency, at least in some regard. I think you got to make darn sure that it's the right move before you do something like that. All right, let me keep rolling here. 866-979-3776. How about Zach and Bothell? What's up, Zach? Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Does that say Zane? Sorry, Zane and Bothell.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, man?
I just need to say this. For your guys' race with Mora, you guys need an official starter. And being a former track star, I think you guys need somebody there, you know, an official, because...
Do you have the gun?
Mora comes across as somebody... I got the gun and everything. Mora comes across as somebody who might, you know, flinch and take off before we say go.
I come across as a cheater?
Wow.
Do you think Mora's a cheater?
That's a yes.
I'll take my comments off the air here after.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I will.
What is it? More curiously, what is it about Mora you think is like a cheater? What about her?
She tends to cut you off and she tends to just kind of, the way she talks to you sometimes, I just don't like it, Mike.
She's kind of mean, right?
Oh.
So, Zane, would you say she's a little mean to me?
She is very mean to you.
Thank you.
Just a little, very mean to you.
Zane, you're like my long lost brother. You're the only supporter I've ever had. And I just want to say I love you. And would you stop cutting me off? I'm talking to my new best friend, Zane. And what are you doing? You're doing exactly what he says. You're cutting me off. Zane, you and I were obviously meant to be platonically in love.
Yes.
And I just want to say thank you for calling in today.
Yes, you got it. You got it. Mara, please keep... Stay off the air, okay? Thank you.
Wow.
I think he's referring to this moment.
Can I be the left tackle? I'm letting you get lit up. I am absolutely mean to you. I believe it's in my job description here.
That's not true.
It's part of my role on the show, everyone.
How dare you.
But the cheater thing I take offense to. I am much like your daughter, Avery. I am a rule follower. You can ask my parents. I do not like to break rules and get in trouble.
Seem like you might be a cheater.
That sounds like something a rule breaker would say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a big cheater would say that.
Someone who actually ran track and cross country, that's the only sport I did. I would not dishonor the sport.
Ipe said he was a pretty trustworthy dude also. Oh, Shohei, I would never steal from you. I'm a rule follower.
You're comparing me to a con artist now?
Well, I'm not. He is, really. I'm just following up on what Zane said.
Career fraud.
Yeah. Jeez, be a little mean
career
to Sulk,
cheater.
And now you're just an awful person.
Let me go to Mark and Brennan. What's up, Mark? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. You know I'm pretty optimistic on the Mariners, and it's been a little tough here in the first couple, 2.5 weeks, but, you know, I'm still very optimistic on them. They're going to get it together. You know, I said a couple months ago to you that, you know, if they get off to a slow start, you know, we're going to have to be looking at Scott. You know, Scott is a great baseball man. I mean, he really is. The more I think about him, the more I think that he's as good as there is in the league in terms of knowing baseball, knowing what he's doing, they're going to get it turned around. You know, Julio is their main issue, and he's going to figure it out. The one thing that I wonder about, and I wonder what your thoughts are about, you know, Cal is kind of a leader, JP a little bit. You know, I'm wondering who you think is going to emerge as this team progresses and gets rolling, and they're going to get rolling. I really feel it. I really do. Julio doesn't appear to me to be a quote unquote leader. The one guy I'm looking at that I think might have a huge impact on this team moving forward is Polanco. When I watch him, I look at his eyes. He looks like he's intense, like this means something to him. And I think he's really going to propel this team. He might not be the top home run hitter. Or
I'll
the
tell
top
you what, man,
hitter,
Mark, he's going to have to play better to do that. I mean, not that you can't lead from a position of without, you know, being the best guy in the team. You can, but it's real hard to come in new and not hit and kick the ball around the infield and lead right away. Doesn't mean he can't get there. And I think we have not come close to seeing the best of Polanco's game. And maybe he'll end up being one of those leaders. I think for now, it's still the same guys. It's JP, it's Cal, it's Julio. Mitch Haniger's obviously had a big role. And it sounds like Luis Castillo's done a little bit more leading than he has in the past. So,
but he could fill the roles of or the shoes of somebody like a Tom Murphy, who is a different kind of leader in a
sure.
different way.
Again, not against it. And it may turn out that way.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be the best to be the leader. But I think it's hard to come in new, struggle to hit, struggle to field, and then lead all in the same time. Totally. I think that would be a bit of a challenge. Yeah. We got time for one more? All right, 866-979-3776. Let's try one more. Tyler and Pocatello. Hi, Tyler, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I just want people to calm down. Hot starts do not mean a good season. A few years ago when we had the Parrot and Bogey, we had 32 home runs. And fell on our face. Talented teams, we have a talented team. It's better to stumble out of the gate than at the finish line. And I'm just saying Haniger is that leader. I mean, he's my favorite professional athlete in all sports. Wow. He'll lead this team to great things. We have an excellent team, and I think we're going to do good this year.
No, I appreciate the optimism this morning, Tyler. Thanks, nice, Tyler. Thanks for the phone call. Maybe we should. You want to end
I
it there?
I see a lot of texts from Tyler. I think that's one of the first times he's called.
Yeah, so. Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate some of the uplifting. Just so you know, let me grab one more. Just because there's a bunch of Mariners things, and we've kind of gone up and down on those. But Kevin's in Seattle. Kevin, I'll give you the last call today.
Hi guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, excellent. Long time, first time, go M's, obviously. Just want to talk about the Shohei thing. Just throwing it out there. It's one thing, say we go out, we're at Luda, you borrow 20, 30 bucks from me. I don't notice it the next day. But if my best friend, my interpreter, my liaison is moving around millions of dollars, I kind of feel like it's hard to believe that he's not picking up on that. He's not seeing his ledger. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm bringing in that much money, I'm looking every day. I'm not bringing in that much money, I'm still looking every day. Do we feel there's a scapegoat involved? And yes, Shohei is the ambassador to this new generation. He is the face of the sport to so many millions. Baseball has a ton to lose if he goes down.
Look, Kevin, I appreciate it. Yeah, look, hey, we got to run, but I appreciate the call. Let me just respond to it real quick and give us a call again. Thank you.
Most importantly, he started off his call by telling me that he doesn't think I'm a cheater.
No, that's not.
I think Shohei is, but not me.
Convenient.
Look, I would not rule out the possibility. Could this be a giant cover-up through baseball? Yes. Could this guy be falling on a sword for Shohei? I don't have any idea. I guess that's a possibility, although I think he's going to go to jail for a very long time. If you're asking me to guess what seems most likely, I would say I don't think the U.S. Attorney's Office is easily influenced by Major League Baseball. I don't think they mess around unless they've got an airtight case. So the fact that, remember, we kept asking everybody, who are you, what do you want to know next? And they all said, we want to know who's investigating this, who it was reported to. Well, now it's U.S. Attorney. U.S. Attorney didn't mess around. They don't lose. Like when the U.S. Attorney's in, they're probably going to win that case. It's probably pretty close to airtight. So I don't know how this ends, but I would be willing to bet that this is probably a pretty close to accurate story, that this guy conned Shohei out of a tremendous amount of money.
Pleading guilty, right?
Tremendous amount of money, yeah. All right, fun stuff. Thanks for the calls, everybody. We'll do it again next Friday. Right now, though, let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, Justin, you've asked me to rank cheeses today?
Yeah, you know, today is National Grilled Cheese Day, and it just got me thinking. I'm like, oh, well, let's rank cheese. And then I was thinking, I don't think there's a lot in here for a normal ranked of cheese.
Cheeseburger, so cheeseburger, right?
How about there's an actual... And you know the bird in the spring that whistle the... Da-na-na whistle sound?
Uh-huh.
I always hear cheeseburger when... Yeah, I hear cheeseburger.
Yeah, that's
fair. So what? I was just thinking about cheese
today.
Can
you not whistle?
I can whistle. No. I just didn't want to.
I just wasn't sure if you couldn't.
Oh, I can whistle.
Can you?
Yes, I can whistle.
Are you sure?
Anyway.
Doesn't feel like you can.
Made me think of... I don't think we've actually done a real ranking of cheese.
All right, so you want me to just rank cheese?
You do your fondue thing every
year.
Yeah,
I do love cheese.
We've talked about cheese a lot.
All right, I can rank cheese for you. I got a top five, but let me give you some honorable mentions. Before I do those, let me first talk about the most overrated cheese, and it's not close. It's any type of jack cheese.
Oh,
overrated,
what?
Monterey Jack, Pepper Jack,
wrong.
Colby Jack. The most overrated cheese on the planet. Get it out of here. Mm. Almost never necessary in anything.
Pepper Jack?
Provolone, good, but it's got to be, like, when you put it in the right sandwich with roast beef or an Italian sub, it really comes to life.
Melted.
But provolone is really it matters where it's being put. It needs complementary pieces.
So not good on its own.
Not great on its own.
So is that how you're doing this now?
No.
Like, this is the cheese you eat on by itself?
No, I'm just sort of giving you some thoughts on some of these honorable mentions.
Okay.
Another overrated cheese is that Baby Bell stuff that comes in the wax.
Oh, the one that Lefko likes to eat the wax from?
Gross. That stuff's overrated, man. That's for children.
What about string cheese?
String cheese also, that's gross. String cheese gives you a headache. Yeah. Nasty. Crazy. Out on string cheese.
It's a headache?
Yep. Okay. Don't like string cheese.
That's weird.
All right, some good ones. Cheese Whiz. Love the Cheese Whiz.
Top five cheese.
Oh, wow.
Didn't quite crack the top five for me. That's a tough cat. It's tough.
Baby bells are for children, but Cheese Whiz isn't?
Yeah, Cheese Whiz is not.
I haven't had Cheese Whiz since I was like six.
Right. Well, that's on you. Go have some Cheese Whiz.
And we're talking the canned Cheese Whiz.
Oh, what not? Yeah, what other Cheese Whiz would I be talking about?
Well, because you think of the Cheese Whiz you put on cheesesteaks and it doesn't really come out of the can when they say with Whiz.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it's great, too, on a cheesesteak. In fact, I had one of those somewhat recently, and I did get it with Cheese Whiz, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the can or either one, all kinds of Cheese Whiz.
Whiz, okay.
A+. Nacho cheese, another great one. Ooh. Dipped, you know, when you do, like, the queso dipping.
I like fancy cheese, too, but nacho cheese. Just
awesome.
Good old-fashioned pump cheese is my number one.
I can't put it in my top five, but it's great.
Not
cheese.
Top five.
Out of a metal can where you cut your finger on it and you're trying to get the cheese out of the bottle.
More, you mentioned burrata earlier. Fantastic cheese. Love it at a fancy restaurant.
So many good apps.
Mozzarella can be used in so many different ways. I don't like it by itself, which is why I don't really like the string cheese, but you put mozzarella in other things and it comes to life. And, you know, there's so many great ways to use mozzarella.
Pizza.
Or what is the... what's the Mexican cheese that you
Cojita
said?
Cojita cheese?
Cojita.
Yeah.
Another great dry cheese.
Mexican street corn.
I like a goat cheese or a chev or something like that. I'll put those in the honorable mention. And then when I was a kid, I hated all Swiss cheeses, but both regular Swiss, Emmental, Jarlsberg, come around on all of those as I've gotten older. Great on crackers
way
with a little bit of wine.
Deeper cheese thought than I expected. All right.
You ready for the top five, Justin?
Of course I am.
Because we've gone pretty deep, I think, into the honorable mentions.
Okay.
Number five. This one's going to surprise you. I don't know whether everybody knows about this. I don't think it's a local thing to the Northeast. You ever have Whisprod?
Nope. Never even heard of it.
It's like the pinkish, it's like a spreadable fake pinkish, yellowish, orange cheese that you would like spread on Ritz crackers.
Like cream cheese?
No.
With the one with the nuts on the outside?
No.
Oh.
I'm looking it up. I don't recognize
Whisprod.
It at
Whisprod. Maybe it's a local thing to the Northeast. It is not classy cheese at all.
Pride of Wisconsin.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, we used to have it all the time as a kid. Oh, Whisprod. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. It seems very similar to Cheese Whiz. Just a little thicker.
But it's spreadable.
Yeah,
it's not in a can or anything. You spread it on crackers, and it's got a tang to it. It is awesome. If you've never had Whisprod, you got to get on that.
Okay.
Great, great cheese.
Okay. There's also in here say use it in a tortilla or a cheeseburger. So I'm on board with Whisprod.
Cheeseburger.
360 says pump cheese is garbage. Absolutely delicious.
You're
garbage.
Wrong, 360. Moving on.
I know it's not good for you. It's delicious.
Number four. Yeah, I would call that a pup cheese. I would put that on the list.
Okay.
Pup cheese. All right, number four. sharp cheddar. I mean, cheddar, but especially the yep. sharper, the better.
Yep.
I want that cheddar to, like, almost bitter. Like, I want it to be so sharp that I can barely put it in my mouth.
Come on. Yep. I'm with you here.
That's number four. And cheddar is so versatile. You can do so many things with it. Crackers. Great with fruit, especially grapes. Melon. There's so many things you can do with cheddar. Number three, and I know it's a category. There's a lot of, you know, things in the category, but I'm just going to go with blue as a category. Oh. Whether it's Roquefort or Stilton or Danish or Gorgonzola, there are so many different options in the blue cheese family.
I think it's like provolone. It has to be with something particular.
Nope.
Like in a steak salad or with hot wings.
How about with wine? Because you know what it does? It makes wine taste. Yeah. Maybe on a cracker. Blue cheese completely changes the flavor of red wine and makes it better.
Hmm.
If you have blue cheese, let it sit for a moment and then go back to your red wine.
How does
it will
do
improve
it?
The quality of your red wine by a factor of 10.
How does it do with High Life? So I'm probably gonna
it can work with High Life. Yeah, it'll improve that too.
A lot of text for Cougar Gold cheese. I've still never had it.
That's in the cheddar category.
Got to do it.
Great
the,
cheese.
Also, the pimento cheese sandwich is happening at the Masters. This is also part of the reason here. So,
number two, and I've come around late to this one too, is Gouda. And it kind of depends on what kind of Gouda you get. I don't always like the smoked Gouda, but the aged Gouda that has the salt crystals in it, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, I just can't stop eating it.
There was a restaurant in Colorado that used to do a smoked Gouda beer cheese soup.
Oh,
that was so good.
So good.
I think the Beecher's, what was it called? We looked it up. Marco Polo.
Is that a Gouda?
The Beecher's Marco Polo cheese. Gosh, I don't
good
know
Gouda,
it,
man.
It's
hard to beat.
Okay, number one.
Number one on my list is just going to be Gruyere. Like, there's nothing like it, man.
Whoa.
There's
fancy.
Nothing wow. like Gruyere. There's a reason it's expensive. You do put it in fondue, but if you just eat it,
there
you can
is.
Make almost a raclette with it. There's so it's the Gruyere taste
number
of
one
Gruyere.
And cheese was an honorable mention. Just very clear what sides of the aisle we're on here.
Dude, whatever. I had Whiz Pride in my top five.
Whiz
I had pub cheese
Whiz.
In there. I had Cheese Whiz on my list. I love that
and
stuff.
Cottage drink.
What?
Cottage.
Cottage not on the list. That's disgusting.
Thank
I almost
you.
Swore.
You're
Justin,
almost
you've
made
never
me swore.
Tried it. You said you've never tried it. Don't say thank you.
I've seen it and I'm like, I'm not doing this.
I went to a dairy farm when I was a kid in Vermont and the smell of cottage cheese, still thinking about it, gives me like dry heaves. Disgusting. I'll never put that in my mouth.
Smell crazy. Blue cheese smells way worse than cottage cheese.
Oh, blue cheese smells good. I love the smell of blue cheese. Okay, we got to go.
Happy
what a dumb way to end a
Enjoy
Friday,
the
but there
course.
You go. Thank you. I'll be playing golf today. Yes, down the home course. My buddy Shane getting out to Redmond Ridge tomorrow. And thank you, Maura. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Until then, stick around for Bump and Stacy. And the hay is in the barn. See everybody.
This is the chopper!